Forest Voices presents Simplicity and Sophistication, short stories of wisdom and kindness from around the world by Dr. James W. Jackson, read by Dr. Jackson.
Story 1, Simplicity and Sophistication. St. Augustine taught, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only one page." That's good advice at twice the price. But sometimes, traveling far and wide presents a perplexing dilemma. Is a culture of sophistication superior to a culture of simplicity? What is the value of simplicity? Is simplicity to be sought after, or is it a default condition when there is no better alternative? Where does simplicity stop and sophistication begin? Traveling in more than 150 countries has required me to process a vast number of sights, sounds, smells, values, unique cultural folkways, and inaccurate rumors. While growing up, I had been assured that my complex native culture was immeasurably superior to all the sad and disadvantaged cultures outside my borders. I found that teaching believable in some respects, but I also discovered that in comparison, my culture wasn't one that much valued simplicity. In 1977, when Apple introduced the Apple II computer, New York agencies borrowed Leonardo da Vinci's quote, "Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication," as a slogan for their ad campaign. It was a clever attempt to redefine simplicity. About that time, I also heard someone say, "There's more sophistication and less common sense in New York than anywhere else on the globe." For more than three decades of international travel, I have found myself fascinated and quietly drawn to the simple lifestyles and attitudes of many of the cultures I've encountered. I make no secret of my love for the northern provinces of old Burma, present-day Myanmar. It took nearly 5 years before government officials allowed me to travel into the insurgency areas. As I ventured into these areas, I felt as if I were entering a virtual 100-year time warp. My mind often takes me back to this ancient land and the outdoor evening fires that everyone in the village gathered round to visit. I have vivid flashbacks of the crystal-clear rivers that became roadways for our canoes as we traveled. Teenage boys and girls waded in the river with short spears. As we moved down the river, I watched them duck their heads under the surface of the water and swim until they spotted a fish. Then, with a quick thrust of a spear, one of them would stab the fish, bring it out of the water, and deliver it to shore. Other men and boys panned the gravel of the riverbed for gold nuggets. Young mothers along the river tended their babies and small children and gathered water or washed clothes. I reveled in the early morning sun that bathed the majestic Himalayan mountains in the distance. Northern Burma wasn't dirty and desperate like the places I traveled in Africa or India. It wasn't dangerous like Afghanistan, Congo, or Palestine. It wasn't a land of poverty, even though they had no electricity, sewer systems, or running water. The country was almost, in a classic sense, undeveloped, but it wasn't poor. Everything was neat and clean, and it was obvious that the people weren't lazy or slothful in the least. They were well-fed and happy, but they possessed very little of what we use to judge wealth or affluence. Their lives were simple. When we returned in the evening from our day-long hospital and clinic needs assessment trips, the villagers had already lit the pit fires and candles. I was expected to put away my Western
sample complete. Ready to continue?